Welcome to the Crosslands Church podcast. Our mission, to help you experience the life with God you've been missing. And now, a message for you.
I've spoken here before. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Judah. I'm Pastor Fred's first son of two. And you don't get to hear him speak. You're stuck with me. So, like a couple months ago, we knew my dad was going on vacation, and he said, hey, do you want to speak? And I said, sure. And then like a month ago, he said, oh, I don't need you to speak anymore. And I went, okay. And then he said like a week ago, you need to speak now, because I don't know what happened, but he's like, can you speak? And I said, sure. So it was very like last minute, a lot of back and forth. So I was very nervous coming into this message. I've spoken here twice before. I was more nervous this time than those other times, and I found myself praying a lot, asking God to use me, to speak through me, to have the Holy Spirit speak through me, because if you're just coming here on a Sunday morning to hear me speak, you're really not getting that much out of it. If God's speaking through me, we're golden. So I'm going to actually take this time to just toss a little quick prayer up. God, I pray that over this next little bit as I speak, I pray that it's you speaking through me. I pray that the people here can be moved by you. They can hear you speaking to them because you are here. You are speaking to each and every one of us all the time. And I pray that we can really just dial in and tune into that today, God. In your name I pray, amen. So yeah, I'm talking about what it means to be empowered by the Spirit, which is kind of a, there's a lot going on in the Bible. I have text messages. My phone number is on the screen, so you can text me any questions, comments, concerns about the message. So feel free to do that. And if I have some time, I will get to those at the end. So just to kick off, ideally, if we're here, if we're following Jesus, if that's what we identify as, then we know some pretty big things. We know who we are. Ideally, we're loved by God, we're children of God, created by him to be loved by him. And we know why we're here, which is to live in relationship with Christ and to help people who don't know Christ know who Christ is and spread the love of God. That's kind of who we are and why we're here. And if you've been in church at all, I'm sure you've heard the phrase, God has a plan for your life at some point. You've probably heard that. And it is true, God does have a plan for your life. But I think sometimes we kind of can feel like he gives us a plan, and then he kind of just sets us on our way, and we're kind of just left to figure out God's plan for us. Like we're in this alone, trying to do what God wants for us, and we're trying to live up to expectations. And that's not what it is at all. That's where the Spirit comes in. That's where the Spirit shines, because if you're doing it alone, you're missing the point. If you're doing it alone, you're not living to your full potential. But don't take my word for it. What does the Bible say? In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, Jesus is speaking, he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. It's kind of a lot. That's a lot to unpack. Jesus Christ is saying that we receive the power of the Holy Spirit. We have that same power living in us, upon us, and we will be his witnesses. We will use that for God's glory, telling people about me everywhere. So I figured, okay, I got to talk about what it means to be empowered by the Spirit. And so I kind of have a 5 W's, like the who, what, when, where, why, of being empowered by the Spirit. Brackets, sort of, because I don't go through all the W's. And you'll see which ones I skip as I go on. So I'll start right off with what. What does it look like to be empowered by the Spirit? What does it look like to have the Holy Spirit living in us? And I'm going to start with the fruits of the Spirit. It talks about those in the Bible. It's not actual fruit, but it's things that grow up in us that show that the Spirit is working in us. If you've been in Sunday school, I'm sure you've heard them. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, goodness, and self-control. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. It's those are the things that come up out of us as the Holy Spirit works in us. Those are the signs that the Holy Spirit is working in us. The Holy Spirit gives us those things: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, all of them. Those are the things that flourish in us as we are changed by the Spirit, as we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. And a beautiful example of that is Paul and Silas, as they're, you know, speaking about Jesus and you know, getting attacked for it. They get beaten brutally and dragged into prison, and they're shackled there, and they're bruised and likely bloody. And then the next verse in Acts, they talk about how Paul and Silas are in this jail singing and worshiping God. So they've been talking about Jesus. They get beaten up for that. They get tossed in jail for that, and their response is to worship God, because these are men of hope. These are men that have the Holy Spirit working in them. These are men of joy, of peace, of patience. They know that God's in control. They know that the Holy Spirit is in them. So even when they're in that situation, they can worship. They can praise. The Holy Spirit helps us speak. Hopefully it's helping me speak right now. The Holy Spirit helps us speak to other people. It helps give us the words when we don't know what to say. In Acts 4, Peter is filled with the Spirit. He's speaking before the religious council at the time. They're kind of questioning him, asking, you know, what gives you the right? Who gives you the authority to speak about these things? And the Spirit comes over him as he speaks to them and explains to them, and the Spirit gives him what to say. And that's true in our lives today. The Spirit can help us speak. The Spirit can also help us pray. And this is one that shocked me when I read about it. The Spirit can pray on our behalf in a way. In Romans, it talks about, you know, when we're feeling lost or out of control, or we're feeling like we really don't know where to begin with God, the Spirit prays with us. The Spirit gives us the words to pray on our behalf. We're kind of helpless, just hoping that, you know, God can figure out what we need, and he knows what we need, and the Spirit gives us the words to pray when we don't even know how to articulate exactly what it is that we need. The Spirit can give us prayers for other people as well. I'm part of a young adult small group. Last year we went on a small group retreat where we went up to a cottage for a weekend where we could, as our small group, experience God together, worship together, which is the beauty of small groups, by the way. That wasn't our next step that we talked about today, but I'm going to talk about it now. If you're not in a small group, highly recommend it. It's a great space to just grow together with a smaller, closer group of people, where you can just be open and honest and vulnerable and experience God and grow together. And so we're on this retreat, and, you know, it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday type of thing, and we show up Friday night, kind of just a hangout night on Friday night. Saturday is where we really get into it, and you know, Saturday morning, we start off, and funny enough, the small group retreat was about spiritual gifts. So, you know, we're starting off, we're sort of talking about that as a group, and we're starting off like our Saturday morning service, and we're doing some worship, and I find myself getting emotional during this Saturday morning worship, which is not out of the ordinary. I'm a pretty emotional person, so I'm, you know, tearing up a little bit. I'm not showing anybody, just me and God. And then later that night, we've got kind of our big service, where we've allotted a decent chunk of the night to just praying together, worshiping together, and during the first song, I felt God kind of speaking to me, like, hey, you should say something to the group, you should pray over the group. And I was like, I'm not going to do that, that's scary. And then, you know, the second song came on, and I felt God going, hey, you should pray for the group and speak for the group. And I went, I don't know, maybe the next song. And then the next song came on, and I actually felt God kind of being like, look, there's only so many songs, just do it. And so I did it, and I spoke in front of the group, and I prayed in front of the group, and after that, it was like something like unlocked in my mind, and all of a sudden, like, I'm going and I'm praying for everybody individually, as many people as I could. I'm laying, you know, hands on them as we're praying, and everyone's praying for each other. It's this beautiful moment where we're all experiencing God together, and I'm sobbing, and I'm, you know, whoever I'm praying for is sobbing, and it was beautiful, but I found, like, mid-prayer for some of these people, I don't even know what I'm saying, but the words are just coming out, and the prayers just keep going, and we're crying, and I'm like, I don't know what's coming next, and it's just, like, happening. And afterwards, we were kind of reflecting, you know, the night had kind of calmed down, and we're kind of just hanging out and reflecting, and I had people come up to me, like, thank you for what you said. That was really relevant, or how did you know that? And I'm like, I didn't. Like, that was God speaking through me, which is crazy to think about, and it gives me chills thinking about it. But that is a possibility. Like, God sends the Holy Spirit to pray on our behalf, and the Holy Spirit helps us understand God better. God is insurmountable, so insanely large, we can't even comprehend the power and the beauty of God. And, you know, in Corinthians, it talks about how the secrets of God are revealed to us by the Spirit. And we, you know, my dad talked about it last week a little bit, where he talked about, you know, have you ever read the Bible and a verse kind of jumps out at you? Like, you might have read the Bible cover to cover before, but all of a sudden it's like, whoa, I didn't know this verse was in there, because it's suddenly relevant to your life and the Holy Spirit kind of, you know, shines light on that verse. The Holy Spirit helps us understand who God is through moments like that, who God is, who's, you know, his character, his love for us. The Holy Spirit can help us with that. That's the Holy Spirit at work. The Holy Spirit changes our desires. In Galatians 5, verse 16 to 18, I'm just going to paraphrase it, but it talks about how we as people are sinful by nature. We sin by nature. You know, God has what he wants for us, and naturally we oppose him. But with the Holy Spirit actually changes our desires. The Holy Spirit actually changes our wants. So it's not just, you know, we have all these rules from God and we have to just struggle to follow them. It's no, God actually changes our wants to line up with what he wants. So now it's not about, okay, I need to do this, this, and this, but I actually want to do this. It's, no, I want to do what God wants me to do. Because the Holy Spirit changes our hearts. It molds our hearts and our desires. And then, you know, the next thing I'm going to be talking about is spiritual gifts, which Jenny also spoke about, is, you know, God wants to bless us. God loves us. Like, God wants to give us good things, and it's not always physical things. You know, it's not like, oh, I need money, God gives me money. It's no, God can also, you know, give you spiritual gifts, things that change who you are, you know, abilities outside of our normal abilities. In Romans and Corinthians, it talks about them. It's kind of the major place we draw from in the New Testament. It talks about things like prophecy, serving, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, mercy, wisdom, knowledge, healing, and tongues and interpretation. And those are, you know, crazy, awesome, powerful things that the Holy Spirit blesses us with and you know, gives us these gifts to encounter him better and encounter other people better as well. Things like prophecy, wisdom, healing, these things that, you know, you see in the Bible and we kind of think, oh, I couldn't do that. But the Holy Spirit gives us those gifts. When the Holy Spirit is working in someone, what does it look like? Well, you can see the impact of the Spirit moving in people, whether that's through the fruits of the Spirit or their spiritual gifts or, you know, prayer or whatever. When the Holy Spirit works in people, you can see it. You can see the Spirit working in people because it's big, it's impactful, it's powerful. When the Holy Spirit is working in you, other people should be able to see that, because of how great and beautiful it is. So how are we empowered? You may be, you know, hearing all these awesome things like, oh, that sounds great, I want some of that. And so how are we empowered by the Holy Spirit? And this is one of the most beautiful things, I think, about our relationship with God. I've got this little graphic. It, you know, it says, as we grow closer to God, we're empowered by the Spirit. And so, you know, we grow closer to God and the Spirit empowers us a little bit more. And I was thinking that. And I thought, well, hang on a sec. It's not just a step, we grow closer to God and we're empowered by the Spirit and we have to start over, we grow a little closer. It's a cycle. As we grow closer to God, we are more empowered by the Spirit, which then draws us closer to God. We're more empowered by the Spirit, closer to God. And it's this beautiful cycle of God working through us. It's not us fighting to reach God. It's as we grow closer to God, just as any relationship, we come to know him. You know, we are naturally more empowered, which naturally brings us closer to God's desires and wishes, which I think is beautiful. We're not struggling to reach him. He's calling out to us and helping to do the work in us. You know, there's the Sunday school answers of how do we come closer to God? How are we empowered? And, you know, we hear them all the time, so they kind of lose their meaning. You know, we pray and we read our Bible, we go to church. But it's like those are huge. Just because they're said a lot doesn't mean they lose their importance, even though we kind of let them. We should be praying. We should be reading our Bible. We should be, you know, going to church or spending time in small groups. You know, we should be doing all these things because these are tried and true, proven ways to come closer to God. And we say it so much that it kind of loses that meaning. We should spend time in silence with God. We spend so much time praying. We spend so much time, you know, asking God for what we need or just the things going on in our lives, which is great. We should be praying to God, but he knows what we need. Sometimes God needs to speak back to you. That's where God fulfills you. That's where God, you know, gives you those moments of peace or joy or, you know, patience sometimes is God speaks back to you. You know, you can ask and wait. You can ask God, hey, God, show me more of your spirit. Hey, God, show me more of your love. And then you just wait in silence, expectantly, because God honors his promises because he loves you. This is how we grow closer to God. And as well, like I said prior, in small groups, growing together. In Proverbs, it talks a little bit about how iron sharpens iron. We can build each other up as followers of Jesus. We are meant to do this in community. Community is a part of our faith. It's not, again, like I said at the beginning, God doesn't set us on a plan and goes, oh, figure it out. Like, we're in it with him and we're in it with each other as followers of Jesus. So who can be empowered? And the simple answer is everyone. That's just the simple answer. Who can be empowered by the Spirit? Everyone has the ability to be empowered by the Spirit, whatever that looks like. Now, if you don't believe me, because I'm just some guy up here, the Bible says that as well. It says it in Acts chapter 10, verse 44. It talks about how the Gentiles have now experienced the Holy Spirit, which at the time would have been mind-blowing for the people back then because, you know, God has his chosen people, the Jews, and you know, they're the ones who communicate with God. And sure, the Gentiles can know Jesus too, but the Jews are the chosen people. But all of a sudden, you see that the Gentiles are also experiencing the Holy Spirit of God. Everybody is able to experience the Holy Spirit. Everyone is able to be changed, to be loved. You have the Spirit of God living in you if you know Jesus Christ. When I talked about, you know, sometimes we feel like we're alone in this, if you've ever felt like that, I know I have, this is that reminder. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit. If you're thinking, you know, you feel a little lost, or you don't really know where you are on God's plan, you're not in alone. God has a plan for you, but he also is helping you along the way with his Holy Spirit, because everyone can be empowered. He's there to help. So this is kind of the big chunk that I want to spend on my message, which is the why. What's the point? Why are we empowered by the Holy Spirit? And I kind of have a story. So let's say that you have a friend who loves rock climbing. He loves rock climbing. He's talking about it all the time. He's like, yeah, I climb this rock, and it's the best, and rock climbing's my life. And so you have this friend, he's constantly talking about rock climbing, you hear about it all the time, and one summer he goes, hey, do you want to come rock climbing with me? And you think, okay, sure. So, you know, you've got a date set for rock climbing. You're kind of planning it out with him of where you're going to go and all that. And then, you know, the day comes, right? You guys are at whatever mountain or cliff, and he goes, hey, I've got some tips for you. And you go, no, I don't need that. I Googled it. Why wouldn't you listen to him? He goes rock climbing all the time. And you're just, you know, you just kind of sit there and go, I don't need it. I looked into rock climbing a little bit for this analogy. Rock climbing is crazy scary. The amount of things you need to learn, knots you need to tie, where you attach the carabiner in case it falls and then you don't die, it's nuts. For you to, if you had that friend who loved rock climbing, for you to go, no, I don't need your help, you would be an insane person. But that is how we treat our faith a little bit. God goes, hey, I have a plan for you. And we go, cool, thanks, God. And then he goes, hey, I've got the Holy Spirit to help you out. And you go, I don't need it. Why would you do that? I mean, it's a simple, you know, kind of loose analogy, but God knows what you need. God knows his plan for you. And that's just like trying to climb a mountain based on Google when you have someone there who knows what he's doing. Why are we empowered? Because we can't do it on our own. God calls us to far bigger than we can handle or comprehend a lot of the time. Someone once said, if you're doing it alone, you know, God's not in it. You know, if you're doing it alone, you're missing the point, like I said earlier. And if you think you can handle it, God's likely not involved. The Spirit strengthens us for our benefit and the benefit of the people around us. So back to that, you know, that feeling of I'm in this alone. God's got this plan for me, but I don't know how to get there. I feel lost. The Holy Spirit is there for your benefit. The Holy Spirit is there to remind you you are loved. You have my power in you. The Holy Spirit is there to remind you that the Creator of everything created you, and he loves you and has a plan for you. But not only that, it doesn't just benefit you, it benefits the people around you. Because as you are empowered by the Holy Spirit, you have those fruits of the Spirit. You have, you know, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, joy, all of those things. You have the Spirit working in you, and that's naturally going to outflow to the people around you. Think about some of the people in your lives who don't know Jesus, right? How could you benefit their lives by being more like Christ, by having the Holy Spirit working in you? Now think even further. Think of the suffering in the world around us, just globally. Turn on the news for 5 minutes, your day's ruined. Like, the world is a scary place a lot of the time. There are awful things happening around us in the world, closer than we think sometimes, and it can be very overwhelming when you see the pain that's in the world. It can make me, you know, you feel so small. I know I feel small when I turn on the news and I hear about atrocities happening or, you know, just suffering, poverty, all of these things, and I can just feel like, I mean, thank God that I'm blessed with what I have, but I don't know what to do. I don't know what to help. I don't know where to start. But we can see it. Like, we can see that there's a need for Jesus. We can see that the world needs Jesus, I think, now more than ever, because pain is everywhere. Everyone is suffering in some way. Sometimes it's past my, you know, level of comprehension, the trials that some people are going through. And, you know, we can't do it on our own. These people need Jesus. We need Jesus. And we can feel so lost in that, in where to begin. And if you're sitting there thinking, like, you can't do anything about it, well, yeah, you're probably right. You can't really do that much. I know I can't. I can't help the people across the world who are going through things. I wouldn't even know where to begin. I'm a 22-year-old guy who lives in Bradford, Ontario, who dropped out of art school and is now a tattoo apprentice. I am qualified for very little in this world in terms of helping others. So we, you know, if you feel like, hey, I don't know where to start, I can't help. Yeah, you probably can't. But you're not alone, because God can help. It's not you, it's him. It's not me, it's him working through me. Powerful change can only be done through powerful people. But we're not powerful people. Time and time again, we show that, you know, humans are weak, greedy, self-absorbed. We want what's best for me. I want a good job so I can get a good house and get a lot of money and a nice car maybe, and then I'll die. And that's what people show themselves as time and time again. And even when, you know, yeah, sometimes we do nice things. Sometimes we're generous or we help out the people we know and love. But overall, we're not that great. Powerful change can only be done through powerful people, but we're not powerful people. But we're empowered by God. We're powerless people empowered by the most powerful. We're powerful people. We're powerful because we're empowered by God. It's not me, it's him. So yeah, you might be sitting there, I don't know where to begin. That's likely the case. So where do you find out? Well, you ask God. How can God use you? How can God use me? Because the same Spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the dead lives in me and lives in you. The same Spirit that resurrected, that performed miracles, the same Spirit that did all these amazing things didn't just go away when Jesus went back to heaven. No, it stayed around, and it's living in all of us. The same Spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the dead lives in me. So I kind of mentioned it earlier, but, you know, we kind of think about the people around us. Okay, who can I help around me? And that's a great starting point, but if you are faced with a situation and you think, yeah, I got this, I can handle this, you're likely not being empowered by the Spirit, because it's not about you, it's about God. If you feel like, you know, this plan of, oh, I don't know how to do this and I don't know where I'm going to begin. Yeah, that's a good starting point because that means you're fully relying on God. You're fully relying on the Spirit. When you're helping people around you, you're not doing it just because you're a nice person. If we stop there, we're just a bunch of nice people and we miss the point. But if you do it to witness Christ, you do it and explain that, explain, no, I'm doing this because I'm empowered by God. I'm empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's where change starts. Because now people feel loved by God. People realize they have a purpose through God. So what would our world like if we lived like that? If we lived fully knowing that we were empowered by the Holy Spirit, fully empowered by God because he loves us and he loves the people around us. The Holy Spirit benefits us, but it also benefits the people around us because God loves you and God loves the people around you. God loves the people you've never met. So let's start living like that for our benefit and the benefit of the people around me, for God's glory, because we have that power in us. So let's get out there and use it. My phone's blowing up, so I'm gonna check that in just a sec. But if you've never experienced this, or you want to experience this, you've never heard anything like this, and you think, well, that sounds amazing, because it is, it's as simple as ABC. This is how you can start the wonderful journey with God, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, to be loved by God, to know who you are, and to know why we're here. So A stands for admit. Admit that we're powerless. Admit that we need help. Because we do. Because the problems of this world are bigger than us. And then B, believe that that help comes through Jesus Christ, who died for us, who loves us, who made it available for us to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And then C, commit. Commit's like the biggest one. Like if you know A, if you admit that you need help and you believe that the help is available through Jesus, like you, that's an easy step over to commit. Just commit. I know that I need help, and I know that Jesus is that way, so I'm going to follow him with my full heart, and I'm just going to dive right in. And if you're thinking that for the first time today, that's amazing. I'm super happy. But you got to tell someone, because we're not in this alone. We're meant to do this in community, both with him and the people around us. So we have it on crosslands.live. There's a little box you can click that says follow Jesus, and we can get in touch with you on, you know, next steps, or you can find one of the pastors after the service. You can even come up to me and I can try and help you out. And we also have connection cards at the back. But if you're thinking of doing this, do it. It's the best thing you could ever do. But tell someone so we can, you know, do it together. Because the Holy Spirit is available to you. God's love is available to you. It's simple, just three steps, but it's not always easy, but it's worth it. So I'm going to check my text messages, see what I got. Oh, that's more than the last time. Okay, let's see. Wow, thanks for the message. Your first words were, God has a plan. That's what I was told by the Holy Spirit last week when we were told to pray and listen to what the Holy Spirit says for us. This is a very comforting thing in a time of upheaval. Thank you for that. And yeah, that's God wants you to feel peace. God wants you to feel joy. God is there for your benefit and the benefit of the people around you. So that's amazing, and I'm really glad to hear that. Okay. There's a lot in this question, but I'll try and unpack it. Quick question. Would you say working in the spiritual realm requires you to send your spirit out to meet the Holy Spirit in cooperation and relationship, or does it require your spirit to take a step back and allow the Holy Spirit to fill the spaces where your own spirit cannot fill? Yes. Both of them a little bit, depending on where you are in your faith. Sometimes God calls you to take a step, and you need to take that step, but other times, you know, you've got a lot going on, and God knows what you're going through, and sometimes God is chasing after you. God is both chasing after you all the time and also will sometimes call you to trust in him. Much like any relationship, you know, sometimes you're chasing your friends or sometimes, you know, they're reaching out to you. But God is always reaching out to you in love. It's just, you know, sometimes he asks you to reach out and touch him. Powerless people empowered by a powerful God. Dope line. Thanks, Ben. That was nice that you said that was cool. God, use you today, powerful, practical, and relevant message. Thank you. That's very kind. I hope so. Fruit of the Spirit. How would you suggest we as Christians demonstrate these? We don't seem to be known for our peace, patience, understanding. Very true. A lot of people don't like Christians based on things Christians have done. The easy answer is, you know, we're not necessarily striving to be peaceful or striving to be, you know, people of understanding. Like, yeah, we should want that, but we can't just make ourselves patient. But you can ask God to make you patient. You can ask God to teach you patience. You can ask God to give you peace. I mean, like, the fruits of the Spirit, by definition, are things that naturally flow through us as we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's not, you know, I want to have the Spirit, so I need to be peaceful. I need to be patient. It's no, these are natural outcomes of knowing God and knowing the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not an it. He is God and holy God. Very true. It's a very awkward balance, because the Holy Spirit as a term kind of sounds like a title, which it is, and there's a lot of debate on gender of the Holy Spirit, but you're right, the Holy Spirit is a person living in you, working through you. Good job. Thank you. All right, I'm going to close in prayer. I'm going to get everyone to stand, and we'll close in prayer. Just going to remind you, we use Theater One here as a prayer room after the service. So we always recommend, you know, find someone you've never met before, join a meaningful conversation with them. We can live in community together, which is amazing, but we just ask that you do that in the lobby, because in here we're going to be praying and using it as a space to meet God personally. So we just ask that you do that in the lobby. Father, I want to thank you for this opportunity to come up here and stand on this stage, as unqualified as I am, to try and speak your message, God, and I want to thank you for that. I pray for myself and the people here that we can be moved by you, be moved by your Spirit. Your Spirit is here now. Your Spirit is here now. You are here now. And I want to thank you for that, and I pray that we can feel your presence here. We can hear the words you're trying to say to us, God. I pray that, you know, as we go about our days today, we know who we are in you, we know our purpose, and we know that we have your power living in us. I pray that, you know, for the next week, month, year, lifetime, God, that we can know that you are working in us for our benefit and the benefit of people around us, God. I pray that you can call us to things outside of our imagination, things that are bigger than we can accomplish, so that we have to rely on you. Because that's the only way to do it, is to rely on you, God. And I pray that we can be willing and be in tune with your Spirit, so we know how loved we are and how much you want to give us, God. I pray that everyone here can know that, and they can have an awesome week as well. In your name I pray, amen.
You've been listening to the Crosslands Church podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or the Google Play Store so that it comes straight to your device. And to find out more about Crosslands Church, you can visit us at crosslands.ca. Join us next week for another message to help you experience the life with God you've been missing.